Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Wednesday, September 22nd. The preseason is upon us, Eddie. Good evening, and how are you, buddy?
I'm juiced. And I'm ready. Finally, some puck will be playing on the ice tomorrow against the Devil Dogs. It's exhibition, but it's going to be a big exhibition game because we're going to get a first look. It's some Rangers against NHL competition. I'm damn excited. God darn it. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for tonight's guest. We'll be joined once again by Leslie Treff. If you haven't heard Leslie before, she is one of the preeminent experts on the range of prospects and who's on the way. And she's her fourth or fifth appearance with us. She's getting up there in the five timers club, I think.
I could listen to her talk puck all day and all night because she really gives you probably the most unbiased scouting reports on Ranger prospects. And let's face it, this year, a lot of these Ranger prospects have good shots. A lot of the players we're going to be discussing have a good shot at making the team. And she's also been down there at camp for a couple of days and seen what's the goings-on there. And I know a lot of Ranger fans are anticipating to hear about our first-round pick, Dylan McElrath. If he looks, good so far. And she just knows so much about hockey, and whether you agree with her or disagree with her on a player evaluation, you respect her. And that, I really do. I mean, she's just the best as far as I'm concerned with that. Now, I'm not going to take any away from you, Jess Rubenstein, because Jess is probably listening going, hey, Jess Rubenstein knows his puck, his prospect puck.
He's what about me? Rude,
there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's room for two geniuses. We have room for two geniuses on this show.
We got room. That's right. And don't forget, you know, don't leave out our buddy Russ Cohen. He's good with the prospects
Russ
as well.
Cohen knows his,
he's another guy we go to.
The prospects.
Exactly. Just want to real quick, good evening to everybody that's in the chat room. And we've got a ton of guests tonight, I see, in the chat room. A lot more than usual. So I think a lot of them are probably here to hear Leslie. And just to let you guys know, if you're listening to us for the first time, welcome. And if you want to join in the chat, you have to be registered with blogtalk.com. So go ahead and get yourself a screen name, join in the chat. It's never dull. I'll give you that much. So, and good evening to all of you that are already in the chat room, all our regulars, the blue shirt bastards, as we like to call you. And first preseason game tomorrow night. Did you get a look at the, did you see the roster for tomorrow night? The lineup, if it will?
Yes, I did. And I am pumped. I am pumped and jazzed to see some of these guys play. Let me run down the list here. Dale Weiss, we love Dale. We love Matt Zuccarello-Osson. Derek Stepan, the boogeyman, making his first appearance. Brandon Brust, Gaborik. Oh, Tim Kennedy. Brandon Dubinsky, the Russian tank, Fedotenko. Ryan Boyle, he'll be cut. Eric Christensen and Frolov, and on the back line, Roswell Sauer McDonough, looking forward to seeing him. Girardi Stahl, and if his wife allows him, Semenov. And Biron and Chad Johnson will split the goaltending duties.
Are you surprised Gabby's playing tomorrow night? I am.
It's a little bit of a surprise. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to find out right away if there's going to be some Frolov-Gaborik magic right off the bat. Did you think that they were probably going to be, treat him with kid gloves, so to speak?
Yeah.
You don't want to risk an injury this early?
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah, plus, Friday or Saturday, I think they held him out of practice, a little tightness here and there and everywhere. I'm a little surprised, but I think you probably hit the nail right on the head. They want to see, I'm just guessing here, and we're not going to get into line combinations because you know how we feel about that. But I'm also guessing that he not only Frolov, but he probably wants to get a look at him with hopefully Derek Stepan.
Yeah, they are really looking at that center ice position, and from what I heard Tortorella say, he's really looking at Dubinsky to be a winger and not a center iceman. So I think, if Doobie looks great at center ice, of course he's going to, they're going to slot him in. But they are looking for somebody to win that position. And I tell you, I get a little excited. Jim, I tell you, they sucker me in every year.
Well, that's why, because we're fans. Of course we get sucked in every year. Now, okay, on the flip side, is there anybody not playing tomorrow night that kind of surprises you?
Wade Redden.
No, that doesn't surprise me.
Well,
I'm kind of surprised. I'm kind of surprised Roosevelt's playing tomorrow night, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm kind of surprised at that. Gilroy, Delzato, or is it the game experience more important to those guys? I mean, I don't want to start second guessing, it's first preseason game. So they were surprises. It stood out.
Right.
Callahan's not playing tomorrow night. That I'm okay with that. I think you kind of know what you're getting with Callahan. I think Gilroy and Delzato not playing is kind of a surprise. But, they got to get a look at, McDonough's got to get his game experience, and they got to see what they got in Mrs. Semenov. And Ocho Cinco in goal tomorrow night.
Yes. So, I'm just psyched. I'll be tweeting. If you guys want to follow me, I'm at Ranger Crisis on the Twitter. For the wise cracker comments that I give during the game. And we'll probably be treated to a John Geonome called game, since Sam will be doing football on Sunday. But who knows? Maybe Sam will not have a travel day and treat us to some preseason bad announcing.
Well, is Sam on the preseason roster?
I don't know.
Does Sam saving his A game for October?
And we've already got some predicted lineups from the scrimmages for tomorrow. It looks like it most likely will be at least at face-off for the first cycle. Frolov, Stepan, and Gaborik. Well, I got to love to see that. Dubinsky, Christian, and Zuccarello. They're not going with the Austin? I mean, what are we, dropping the Austin now? It's Zuccarello, Matt Zuccarello?
Isn't that what it said? Didn't I read somewhere that's what they put on his jersey? It just said Zuccarello? Did I read that right somewhere?
All right, so no more MZA then. It's just MZ.
MZ. MDZ and MZ.
Didn't Zuccarello make him sound Italian?
Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. And then they're going to have Prust, Kennedy, and Fedotenko. Why is Russell and Fedotenko here? This guy is taking somebody's spot. Bugard and Boyle and Weiss. Well, at least they're giving Dale some good line mates. I mean, come on! How much are you going to show with that line? Guy hasn't scored in 3 years. Brian Boyle, I mean, come on.
Hold on a second. If you want to stand out, wouldn't you rather, if you want to be the standout guy, wouldn't you rather be with Bugard and Boyle than with, say, maybe Gabrick and Prospel or something? If you want to be the one that stands out, those are the guys I want to play with, right? Hey, look at Schmiederberg. He's really fast on the ice. Look at him flying all over the place. The other guys can't keep up.
I guess. Stahl and Girardi, McDonough and Roosevelt. Wow, that's a baptism by fire, putting McDonough with Rosie. And then Michael Sauer and Semenov. You know, Michael Sauer's got a, you know, he's been injury prone, and you keep hearing him. I think it's a, you know, a type of thing where it's a make or break for him in the Ranger organization this year. He's either going to be being a factor in the organization, maybe making the big club or making a run, or he's going to be in parts elsewhere, as they say in the wrestling vernacular. From parts elsewhere. So
parts unknown.
And I think it's from parts unknown, yes. And I think that Redden, the fact that he's not there, I love it already. Because I hope he gets used to it.
But how is Wade supposed to show them what he can do if he's not playing tomorrow night?
You mean Reds?
Dreads?
Reds is down to the Relic Club? I just like the fact that they're not throwing Redden out there because he's in good shape already. Make him wait. It's like twice the season starts and he's in Hartford. it's exciting that hockey's back. Screw I love football, but this is time. It's been too long. I'm going to see an actual Rays game tomorrow on TV.
Back, good.
How does your mic sound?
You sound great. You sound just crystal clear, my friend. Did you get a new headset as well, or a headset mic combo?
Yeah,
the
whole shebang.
We have that in a budget?
Yeah, it's a nice $50. $50 at Best Buy.
That's a tax write-off.
It is. But I don't pay taxes. Don't tell anybody.
Oh, okay.
I'm old. I pay my taxes. I'm a good American. So, anywho.
What the hell are you guys talking about in the chat room? What the hell are they talking about? Oh, my God. These guys. You guys. Oh, you guys. As Pedro Serrano used to say. All right. Leslie Treff should be along in a few minutes. In the meantime, you want to talk about Drury now? You want to save that for later? We got other things to talk about besides, you know, Leslie. We want to talk about Tortorella and the brand new attitude he seems to be sporting.
Well, I think everybody that's, you know, tuned into this program knows that Chris Drury is out 4 to 6 weeks because of a broken finger that he got while blocking a shot in one of the first scrimmages the Rangers had. Now, remember a couple of weeks ago, I was on the Chris Drury, I wouldn't say bandwagon, but I was being the devil's advocate. Will Chris Drury surprise us? And he already has by being out. So I don't get it, though, with Ranger fans being happy that he's hurt. That I don't get. You don't want any of the teams to root for to be hurt.
No,
I mean,
of course not. And he's only gonna miss two regular season games, if that. So, you know, I'm not happy that he's hurt, but you know, look, how much is he gonna gain from training camp anyway? Guy's been around, you know, he's a 10, 11, 12 year veteran, whatever he is. So that's fine. Let him rest. You know, he'll still work out. He'll be fine. And he'll miss the first couple of games. And we get a chance, you know, it'll give a chance to get a look at Stepan and some other guys, and it'll be fine. You know, Chris Drury's game isn't going to suffer from missing, you know, a couple of regular season games. He'll come back, and I'm sure once he comes back, he'll be a 25, 30 goal scorer again, just like he's always been.
And,
we can't wait.
I can't wait either. You mentioned it before, the new kinder, gentler John Tortorella. Right now we've got, Mr. Hyde right now. When is he going to turn into Dr. Jekyll, or is it the other way around?
Well, I don't know if you saw the story. I wrote
behind it, the bad guy.
I wrote a story yesterday on Blue Shirt Banner about that, and you know, it's the kinder, gentler Torts, and you know, it's nothing but, I mean, he's been nothing but complimentary, and I'm just wondering if you know, he's gotten to the point where he knows he's got to change some of his methods, or you know, and I compared it to Tom Coughlin with the 2007 Giants. You know, sometimes coaches, they have to change, you know, they have to change their philosophy, and maybe I'm not saying, you know, completely, you know, he's a completely transformed human being, the transformed man, as William Shatner once said, but maybe, you know, this, he's happy about this, this guy's looking great, and you know, he had some good comments today again, and you know, this guy, he's talking about Anisimov, confident with the puck, he's having a great scrimmage, this is one of his better days, and he's nothing but sunshine and rainbows from the Fonz. I'm loving it.
Well, you know, he's on probation with me. I mean, you know,
He's still on probation, I think, with all of us. I mean, you know, like I said in my story yesterday, the first time Larry Brooks or Carpinello asked him a question he don't want to answer, this is liable to all go out the window. And you know, for now, you know, he's looking, it bears watching, is what I said yesterday, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's looking good. You know, let's hopefully it continues. And I don't know, you know, I mean, just looking at this roster, so many people on this team. It's like a football roster. I mean, I keep getting overwhelmed by the amount of people that are actually there now. Because there's a lot of we keep saying there's not a lot of spots open, but apparently there are, unless they're just going to totally retool Hartford with these guys that they don't keep. And speaking about Hartford, they have
I was just going to say, Are you referring to the Connecticut Whale?
Yeah, this is a little bizarre. I talked to you about this yesterday. Now, this seems to recently have been a kind of a fad or a trend for some nostalgia towards the Hartford Whalers. And last year in the Federal League, what was the name of the team again? I'm sorry.
The Danbury Whalers.
Danbury Whalers. And they kind of initiated the whole nostalgia thing by putting a team in Danbury, Connecticut that Phil Esposito is going to be part of. Not sure if he's an owner, but and then all of a sudden, you know, you had this Whalers, I don't know, what was it? It was like a Whalers get-together with the fans and some of the ex-players. It seems like the Rangers have jumped on that bandwagon, or at least Hartford has. The Wolfpack at midseason will change their names to the Hartford Whalers. Or the, what are they going to be, the Connecticut Whalers?
The Connecticut Whale, not Whalers. Apparently, and you know, this is something I never even thought of, but I guess some guys were talking about it yesterday on Blue Shirt Banner, the day before. I guess Whalers is no longer a politically correct term. Although it was good enough for the Danbury team, that's why they went with the Connecticut Whale.
Why? I mean, I know we have Leslie Treffin waiting here, but why is that politically not correct?
Well, it's no longer acceptable to go whaling, I guess. I don't know.
You don't want to offend all those whalers out there. It's still whaling.
Maybe they don't want the people from Whale Wars out on Long Island Sound, you know, protesting.
All right. Well, let's bring her in. Without further ado, as I say on this program, we'll turn it up a notch and bring in the great Leslie Treff from Hockey's Future, who I enjoy talking to and also shares my passion for hockey on an equal level. Leslie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hi, Leslie.
What are you guys talking about? Whaling and whalers? That has nothing to do with what's going on there. So let's clear this up right away.
By all means, like this was just speculation that went on our website.
Okay,
yesterday. So go for it.
So this is what I hear from my friend Bruce Burlett, who covered the Hartford Wolfpack for many, many years and is now involved with Mr. Baldwin and will be covering the team again. So apparently, this is not something I'm familiar with, but that everybody in Connecticut used to call the Whalers the Whale. How's the Whale doing? This is about the Whale. So when Harold Baldwin decided he was going to, rename the team, he was renaming the team what the NHL team was colloquially named before, which is the Whale. I personally think it's a little bit odd name, but whatever. I think there also may be some legal issue with naming the team the Whalers and who has the rights to the name. I don't know if it's the NHL. I don't know if it's Carolina. I don't know when those rights expire or what the story is. But that's why they're being named the Whale. And for why they are dropping Hartford and taking on Connecticut, I think that's pretty obvious, which is they want to expand the focus of the team beyond just Hartford. So let's clear that up right away. Nothing to do with Whalers, nothing to do with any politically incorrect.
Okay. Jim leads down a primrose path constantly, and he gives me this misinformation, and then I have to respond to it, and I'm glad that, Leslie, you're here to clear it up, because, frankly, I didn't know where he was going with this. Not politically correct. I wasn't buying that.
This is
secondhand, but I trust Bruce is telling me the truth here. There's no reason for him to be doing otherwise, and I think it's good information that I got.
Now, one of our readers on Blue Shirt Banner yesterday posted a link to a story that the NHL's rights on the name Whalers had expired. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know because I didn't actually read the article. I just
don't believe anything you said.
I don't know
if that's true or not.
Neither does my wife. So.
Okay, I really don't know if that's true, but that certainly could be an issue. I was just throwing that out there. It could be an issue, and I'd heard some rumblings about that. But that is more speculation than the information I got from Bruce, who is very reliable.
Okay. Now that we have cleared that up.
Okay.
Let's talk
and
about...
This will not take place until sometime in the middle of the season. They're working on the logo, although word has it is a C with like a... some sort of whale coming out of the sea. That's what I heard.
Okay,
so are we done with Hartford?
Yeah, we're done with Hartford.
Okay. By the way, I'll be there next week. Their preseason starts sometime in the middle of the week. I think the preseason starts on Wednesday. I won't be there on Wednesday, but I will be there next weekend, and I'll take in 3 games and be happy to report on it. So look at our HF Rangers blog. Okay?
Nice.
Okay.
Now, let's get to the meat and potatoes. Let's get down to brass tacks.
All right.
Your new featured article, well, not new, but about a week ago, you came out with the new top prospects for the Rangers, the fall prospects. And I think it was a little bit of a surprise.
Really?
To Ranger fans in Chris Kreider. I mean, so maybe we could go through a couple something. We can go through the list and then maybe get your take on why Chris did so well in your rankings and was number one overall.
Okay. Now, first of all, I have to say that, I wrote this probably 3 weeks ago. So before Traverse City, before the current – training camp. And I just happened to pull it up tonight because you mentioned that you wanted to ask me about it. And I looked at it, and I was actually going, not bad. There might be only one person, one guy on the ranking that I might change. That's it. And he's down at the bottom. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, and that's not usual. Usually I write it up in August, and then there's at least one or two guys that I, like, want to hit my head against the wall by September. But not true in this case. So maybe we should go through some of it. And
sure.
You want me to tell you about Kreider,
yeah,
and why he's on,
well,
top?
I just want to preface that, you know, I saw Kreider in the World Juniors last year, but he wasn't at Travers because he had classes. But Glenn Sather and the management really feels this guy is a almost superhuman type of kid as far as his strength and his speed and the way is, for the lack of a better word, physicality. So tell me about Chris Kreider.
Okay, Chris played at an extremely low level of hockey when in his draft year. Okay, not only did he play at an extremely low level, but the kind of coaching he had was fine for the level he was at. But for a guy who's big and as fast as he is, he just wasn't getting the kind of coaching that would push him into the limelight as much as he might have had he had, let's say, a coach in somewhere in Minnesota at you know, one of the top schools there, the top hockey feeder schools, or even maybe some, you know, let's say, Shaddy or something. I mean, he would have been maybe top five, somewhere between 5 and 10, or maybe even higher, had he had that kind of exposure. So he came from this basically, top-notch academic school, but not exactly a high-level prep school hockey-wise. And I think one of the reasons that the Rangers were so interested in him, very honestly, is because Gordy Clark lives up in the New Hampshire area, right near, not that far from the border of Massachusetts, and Gordy saw him a lot. And he loved his size, and he saw stuff in him, like the speed and the hands and the raw ability. And the Rangers were just incredibly lucky to get him where they did in the draft.
I just wanted to interrupt you for a second, because when they first took him,
yeah,
and I was at the draft, you know, at a draft party, mm-hmm, people were like, "Chris, who?" Like, you know, it was a long shot. I mean, am I correct in saying that?
No, I think what it was a boom or bust pick.
Okay.
In the sense that he, as I said, he wasn't a high-profile kid. But he had been ranked very highly by both ISS and NHL Central Scouting. He was well thought of. He just wasn't a premier, you know, player. So it shouldn't have been that much of a surprise that he was picked. It really shouldn't have been. But he was boom or bust. In other words, he could have turned out to be nothing. Although some people said to me, oh, with those kinds of, that kind of speed and that kind of size, he'll at worst be a third-line player. But then again, you can wind up with speed and size and not be able to handle the puck, not be able to handle some of the physicality of the league. It just might not have worked. But the reason that I have really pushed him up now is because he showed last year that his ability to adjust to a higher level, and certainly Hockey East is a higher level, as was the World Junior Championships, as was the Men's Championships, which he did at the end of the year, after doing really well in the Bean Pot and really well at the National Championships, the NCAAs. This kid keeps growing and growing and growing, and I don't mean in size necessarily, but just in his hockey acumen and his hockey abilities and how quickly he learns and adapts to different situations. And he's getting great coaching where he is. at Boston College. So I expect him to be basically one more year at BC, and then mm-hmm. he should become a pro. He may not be ready his first year out. It may be too much of a leap for him because he's going to be young.
Right.
But he may be. He's also, remember, power forwards take a little longer, and that's what he's going to be. But I am extremely high on this kid because of how he's progressed and his raw skills. I mean, just the physical nature, his size and speed are just really exceptional. So.
I met the man. He's a big kid. Let me tell you that.
He's a big kid, and he's a serious kid, and he mm-hmm. just sops up. He's like a sponge, and that's what you want. There's no problems with the kid. He's a good kid. He's a bright kid. Very smart boy.
Yep.
So that's why he's on top. See, I thought the bigger question would be, why is Grachev number two and Stepan number three, or Stepan? Why is he not? Why is Stepan not number two, or even maybe number one?
Well, I don't know if you remember from previous programs, but me and Evgeny Grachev, through just osmosis, I am his biggest fan.
Okay.
And I was actually happy to see him at number two because he had that awful AHL season last year, where a lot of people considered awful. But you know, listen. I was kind of surprised to see Evgeny, let's face it, he's got a shot at making the team this year. At number two, I thought he would drop a little, and maybe you could speak to why you had Evgeny at number two.
Sure. First of all, I was not a big fan of the fact that he decided to become a professional last year. I know that the Rangers had desired for him to go back to Brampton. He had a very, very good year, an excellent year in Brampton in the OHL 2008-2009. And the Rangers and I, too, felt that he just wasn't quite ready for the huge leap that the AHL was going to, you know, he was going to encounter there. And I think he decided he wanted to become a professional. Though I think there were some pressures. This is a kid that, you know, came from Russia, and he wanted to make some money. And I truly think that he believed that perhaps he was ready for the NHL. Turns out that he was barely ready for the AHL. But there still are things that you see in him, and we've seen it this last week in camp. His skating stride, his strength on the puck. He's also now much better than he was last year in decision-making. He drives to the net. We've had a lot of talk about Kreider and Stepan and how great they are. But Grachev, really, you look at him on the ice, he's huge, and his skating stride is beautiful, just beautiful. And you watch him play now, he's playing in a much more controlled, hard-working manner. And there were times last year when I watched him in Hartford, and I was just feeling like he was taking shifts off, and they benched him for a while. It just wasn't. It wasn't a successful season for him. And as we got toward the end of the year, he started to change. But I think this year, I believe he's going to wind up in Hartford. And I think that you may see a different player. I'm hoping you're going to see a different player. And I think he still has tremendous capabilities and potential.
Well, I don't know if you remember the last time we talked, but I still believe that Evgeny Grachev, this is my own personal take, and I hate to disagree with a great Leslie Treff on this. I really believe he's a player that needs good players around him, and this is just my take, everybody out there in Rangerland. I really think they handled him really badly in Hartford. I just think he was not coached the right way, and that's my own personal opinion. And I know, because last year you were saying the same thing. You know, Grachev may have looked great in preseason, but he wasn't ready for the NHL. And I still agree with you. I still think he needs to put together a good AHL season and then be ready to take the next step.
Okay, and how do we disagree?
Well, you know what's going to happen, Leslie, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Well, I can't tell you what exactly is going to happen, but I've got a feeling Grachev is going to shine again in this preseason. And predominantly most Ranger fans are going to be like, oh, we've got to get Grachev in here. Now, I agree that the conservative part of me says, pull the reins back, Eddie, send him back in AHL. But if I had my druthers, I'd throw him in there if he looks good again. But, you know, I've come to learn a few things through you that maybe, let's not get too crazy too quick. And,
okay, so tell me where he's going to go, though. Where is he going to fit? He's on the left side, so where do you want to put him? That's the problem.
Do you think we're really stacked on the side?
You got Rolov, you got Prospel, probably Bugard and Doobie. I don't know if you want Doobie in the center, but if let's say Stepan makes it, we can talk about that next, but
okay.
My guess is that he really, unless he does something really poorly and shows that he's not ready, I think they have him penciled in. He's played extremely well between Frolov and Gabrick. And, he looks ready. He distributes the puck extremely well. I think he's there. I think unfortunately,
and why is he going to be there?
I'm sorry?
To me, it's frustrating. If he's there, then why isn't he going to be there?
Well, he probably will. What I'm saying is he probably will. He will probably be an opening night lineup on the roster. He and Christensen and Anisimov, and we got one more. And that's what's really up for grabs. I mean, I believe it's either going to be Boyle or Kennedy. The Rangers feel that Kennedy is a center, but Kennedy has actually played a lot on the wing. I don't know why they can't use him in both spots, but they really have him penciled in the center. So now that Drury is out for a while, it's possible it could be Kennedy.
Right. And I like the Tim Kennedy pickup. I thought that was a shrewd move.
The last couple of days, Kennedy has looked extremely good. In fact, he scored the winning goal yesterday morning. Not the winning goal, but the tying goal, and then he got a goal in the, quote, shootout. But he was superb. He was flying around there, but he's a little guy on a team with a lot of little guys.
Yeah, we call them the Lollipop Guild. they got a lot of little guys.
You can't have that many, so I don't know. I think he's a real possibility, but Boyle is too, and I think we're going to have to see what happens in the next few games to determine who
Boyle
is going to have it. I'm sorry?
I can't see Boyle making this team. I cannot see Brian Boyle making this team. Just cannot see it.
Okay, well, we'll have to see. I'm not sure. I'm not sure, but what I'm saying to you is, as far as Grachev making the team, I don't really see a place for him.
Okay. Fair enough. Now let's get down to Derek Stepan.
Okay. Well, we've already talked a little bit about him. He's very impressive.
That leadership that we've heard about
yes. I don't know exactly what that means for a rookie.
Right.
We're going to have to wait and see with that.
Does he have a veteran look about him, maybe, perhaps?
No, he looks like a kid, actually. He looks like a kid.
I look in his play. No.
Well, he's very steady, and he's very confident. I think much remains to be seen in real games. It's very hard to judge how someone's going to be under the pressure of an actual game. And we'll know more, I think, tomorrow night.
Right.
I believe he's playing tomorrow night. I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him. And now, with with Drury being out and possibly, can you see Stepan probably making this team? I mean,
I do think at this point they have him penciled in. I do think so. And I do think that absent some, you know, major problem, he will start. He will at least play, you know, in the preseason. I think if he's a cut, he's one of the last ones.
Okay. And then the Frodo from Modo, Matt Zuccarello, Austin.
Well, he's pretty much dropped the Austin, so let's just call him Zuccarello, because that's what everybody's calling him.
That's Italian.
He's a cute young guy. I mean, you know, he does look. he has this sort of Harry Potter look about him.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just don't know. I don't know that he has enough time before the beginning of the season to really adjust to the smaller rink, and it's a big issue. He likes to move around and do a lot of finesse plays, and I mean, he can be very, very tough for his size. He's not a wimp in any way, but I just think he needs some time to adjust. It just worries me a little that he may wind up like some of the other European players in the past that, you know, signed for a year or two and wound up in Hartford and wound up buried there. I hope that would not happen to him. He's quite talented, but I'm just not sure that he's going to fit. But we'll see. We'll see. He might.
Yeah, a lot of, again, Ranger fans are really pulling for him. I have to say the majority of people out on the internet and the underground, so to speak, really want him to be in the lineup. Frankly, I don't, you know, I think, again, that adjustment to the smaller ice surface got for a small guy, it's got to be even more difficult. Because you got, and plus, you have to keep your head up in this league. This isn't the Swedish Elite League, although the Swedish Elite League is a good league. It's still not the NHL, so he may be a work in progress, and hopefully he doesn't give up too soon.
We'll see what happens. We'll have to see. I think for him it's going to be very important to show that he can adjust to this, you know, the smaller ice over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. So, but I like his game. He has good hands and great speed and great vision.
Because you had mentioned it in your article, which I thought was, you know, I had done a little bit a kind of a bit on it earlier about, you know, the Rangers have a lot, we mentioned before, a lot of small guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you throw Avery into the mix, Austin.
Call him Zuccarello. Call him Zuccarello.
Sorry, Zuccarello.
Call him Zuccarello. Forget the Austin.
All right. Well, listen, I'm just reading verbatim from your blog,
okay.
Leslie.
No. I'm just saying that, you know, in the past couple of weeks, he's...
You got, what do we got? We got Ryan
Kennedy.
Bork.
Kennedy.
Kennedy is short. We've got Christian Thomas. He's
Thomas
small,
is
isn't
also
he?
Also small, very small, yes.
Right. You know, we've got a couple guys there that it's just, and you like you said earlier, not a lot of these, you know, not many teams have two guys this size. So I wonder what their thinking is in getting all these small guys. I often wonder that. But
well, the thing is, if you have a very fast, small team with enough big guys to protect them and to be power forwards and crash the net, and you have smaller guys who can really speed up the ice, you've got a lot of different types of threats, and that's good. It's just you can't have too many of particularly the smaller guys. So we'll see what happens. I think there are more talented forwards, particularly, than this team has seen in a very long time. The question is, can they put it together? And
right.
Sure. And also, I think they may be 1 or 2 years away from it really being a Stanley Cup contender. You know, I think they're the players. Certainly.
I love the optimist.
I'll take it.
I mean, you know, I really think if Kreider develops in the way he should, and we've got Grachev and Stepan and Zuccarello sticks around, and Werick. Then there's a line that I love, and it's a future third line, which would be Carl Hagelin on the left with Roman Horak in the center and Dale Weiss on the right. You have an amazing third line. These guys are really physical, got some upside, can kill penalties. They're really great. I mean, that would be a great third line. And we're about 2 years away from that, maybe three.
And Carl Hagelin is a guy that doesn't get much press. You don't really hear too much about him. But everything I hear about this guy is glowing. I mean, it's all good.
Yes, but he's not going to be like a, you know, an almost first liner. He's basically
right.
a very, very good third line player with a lot of upside for a third liner. Very smart guy, good size, you know, just very, very good two-way player, excellent player.
And
Horace
also
just moving along, huh? I'm sorry.
You also mentioned Ethan Werick, who...
Well, Ethan Werick...
He looks like a guy who's got a great work ethic.
My gosh. Ethan Werick is a great kid. He just goes full out. He's got talent. He will... Good hands. The knock on him some was skating. He's worked out over the summer with Barb Underwood, who is a... Underhill, I'm sorry. Barb Underhill, who is a former Olympian, and his skating has improved enormously. Yeah, he's doing really well. He looks great in camp. Unfortunately, he got injured early on this week, and his left leg, ankle. I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with it, but he has
a lower body injury, as they say.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a really good kid, and the Rangers really like him.
Yeah, he's top-notch, no doubt about it. And we get down to the defenseman, Ryan McDonagh. He's finally here.
He's finally here. I think he's solid, but he's not the next coming of anything. I mean, he's a solid guy, and he will compete for a spot now. I'm pretty sure he's going to get one. But, you know, he's got a way to go. Has a way to go.
Do you feel like he doesn't have his game is not defined yet, whether he's going to be a shutdown defenseman or a guy who'll chip in offensively?
He may chip in a little offensively, but he's much more of a a regular somewhere in the middle defenseman. I can't say he's totally defensively, defensive oriented, but he's just basically a two-way guy. He's probably a second-pairing guy eventually. You know, it might be this year, might be next year. Second-pairing guy. He's going to be very protective of his teammates. He'll take the body, and he'll be defensively responsible with chipping in some. But he's not what I think they thought he was going to be when he was originally drafted by Montreal. So he's changed some, and I think you're probably right. It's not totally defined, and we're going to have to wait and see. He plays a very different game than McElrath plays.
Well, now let's talk about him. He's the man of the hour. Ranger fans want to know. I was at those draft parties, people saying our season is ruined, our future is ruined because we didn't take Cam Fowler, and I laughed at him because we got Dylan McElrath, If somebody said to me, which I'm going to relate this to you and Jim, said to me, what we basically got was Dave Manson. And I was like, Dave Manson was a pretty good defenseman. I mean, he was a defensive defenseman. He dropped the gloves. I don't think McElrath's going to drop the gloves as
well,
much as
Manson. Well, he might. Certainly might. He did so tell me what you see. Top prospects game. Well, I wrote a little article about this a couple of days ago about how important, you know, how I was very disappointed and in total shock after I heard his name being called out. But I have a lot of faith in Gordy Clark. He's done some wonderful things in his drafting recently, and he swears by this kid. He thinks this kid is a sure thing. And what he wanted was someone who can shut people down and be very hard to play against. And that's basically what I saw in development camp originally and earlier in the summer. I was not too happy about it, but I saw him give a couple of guys elbows to the face, his own potential teammates. He's someone you just don't want to play against. He's a tough guy. He still needs to grow. But he's learning, and he's got incredible amounts of confidence. He thinks he's going to be ready in a year or two for the NHL. I had difficulty not laughing. I just don't think he's going to be there. But he impressed me with how quickly he adapts. He starts off slow. There's no question about that. But uh-huh. He really seems to adapt well, and I like the pick better, but I'm still wondering if we picked the right guy. I'm not sure, but we'll have to see. Time will tell.
Oh, you know, I'm part of that in Gordy we trust, so to speak. I think he's done a hell of a job, and I'm pretty sure you're going to agree in the 5 years that you've been covering the Rangers for HF.
It's six,
they got,
you know.
6 years.
Six now, yeah.
It's just a great crop of guys he's put together. I mean, you know.
I mean, if you look at the top 20, look at that. I mean, it's very, very good.
Yeah. I mean, we're not saying all these guys are going to make the team and be second line, first line, but the potential of those 20 guys is there to make the NHL squad, no matter what line. And that's what you want.
Yep.
You know, some guys are going to regress, some guys are going to progress. Talk about a little bit of regression. I sensed a little regression in Ryan Bourque. He dropped a couple, and he moved up. So,
well, let me tell you about Ryan Bourque. Ryan Bourque had several concussions last year, and
right.
I was not very happy with what he looked like in prospect camp. But a couple of days ago, he was out there in a scrimmage, and I was just stunned at how his passing ability, his vision, he is stronger on his skates than he was. He can make these passes that are just amazing. And his vision's amazing. I mean, I just was stunned. And so, you know, I have him at 13th now. I still think he's a long shot, but he's a special player. And he has to stay healthy. I mean, he can't be having more concussions, so it would be very serious. But
yeah.
I really liked him. Really was playing extremely well. He was playing on a line with Horak. Can't remember who the third guy was. Horak and Bourque, and I think it was Chappelle. A guy who's going to be, either in the AHL or the ECHL this year. But between Horak and Bourque, they played really well off each other, really well.
Good.
I was really impressed. So I don't think he's gone backwards, but I still think he's a long shot.
And then we have a guy that, a lot of the experts, so-called experts, did not like this pick, but you got it ranked at number 10 was Christian Thomas, mm-hmm. who played for Adam Graves' team, the team that he owned. And I don't know, we kind of speculated there might have been a little bit of nepotism with this pick. But you got him at number 10. Again, another small guy. Is he the real deal?
I don't know. It's as honest as I can be. I don't know. He played for a team that was terrible. He stood out on that team. His speed and his ability, his hands are excellent. He makes all these dipsy doodle kinds of moves that work fine in junior. They don't work so well in the pros. We'll have to see. He's on the right side, which is something they need. He has ability. We'll see what happens. You know, I have him there because of all the players beneath him, I guess except for maybe Bork, he's the most offensively gifted. Bork is also gifted, but less likely. He's smaller even than Thomas and less likely to make the NHL. But Thomas is a gifted goal scorer, and he can break away and really light up the place. So we'll have to wait and see.
And then let's go to the defenseman, Pavel Valentenko. He's finally here. Got him rated at 12. What do you think about Valentenko?
Well, he's got a great shot. Oh, my gosh. This guy has a shot. But if he can stay on
skates.
Need
a shot for the defenseman.
I'm sorry? Yes. Yeah, but I'm not sure he can stay on his skates. He falls on the ice. He had some trouble with the drills. He needs some more work, but I think he's an interesting prospect, and we'll see what happens with him. I think he's in the running to make the team.
Really?
Yeah, I do think so.
How about Thomas Kondratek?
Well, he was one of the better skaters through the first several days in the drills. He's still a little, he still needs some work on his shot, although it's a good shot. He still needs some work on it. He still needs to build himself up some, but he's a good player. I have him at 15th. He was 12th last time. That is more a reflection of how good the people are ahead of him and how people have moved up than him falling. I think he's a good player. He's going to play. I'm almost positive he will play in the AHL this season. And we'll see how he does. He's a very good defensive defenseman, and we'll see how it works out for him. He's probably a year away. I'm sorry?
I was going to say, it seems to be a lot of the prospects defensively aren't offensive-minded defensemen. Do you think
you want Bobby Sanguinetti back?
No, I don't want him back. I mean, he needed to move on. I mean, obviously.
I think he'll get a shot in Carolina. I think he'll have a real shot.
I hope
shot.
So. I hope it works out for him.
Yeah.
You
said about offensive defensemen, and this is the reason that I expected them to pick Cam Fowler when he was available, because there is no real offensive defenseman real elite offensive defenseman in the system. But they wanted McElrath, and, we'll see what happens. So that was.
I think just rounding out the defense and basically your rankings is Passionen. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Passionen.
Yeah, he was here for development camp, and he was quite. He has some offensive ability, not a tremendous amount, but he has some, and he's exciting. Defenseman, and he definitely deserves to be on the list. He has one more year this year in the KHL, and he's very interested in coming over next year, so we'll see how that goes. But he's definitely exciting to watch. He thinks nothing of taking out his own teammates. At least he did. At least he did during development camp. He takes no prisoners.
Now, I want to say that after reading your article, The future looks so bright, I got to wear shades. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, are we this good? We have the potential to be this good, Leslie? Or am I drinking the Kool-Aid too early again?
This is the best it's looked in six seasons. It's not 6 years. It's 6 seasons that I've been covering the team. Without question, this is the best it's looked. Between the guys that are still coming up and the young guys that are already on the team, you know, we're talking about Doobie and Delzato and Callahan, in addition to Gabrick and maybe even Frolov. I don't know what's going to happen with him, which Frolov will show up. But, you know, I think this is, they have the core, and Stahl and Girardi too, they have the core of a really, really good team. And when we
I've seen in certain guys like Stefan that every level he's made the adjustment and made progress, and there's really been no stumbling blocks. And I'm sure there's going to be some down the line, but it seems like there's several guys of that ilk that have made adjustments fairly quickly. My only concern is that these players will be brought up too early, maybe as to address the lack of room with the salary cap, and it kind of hurt the development. Now, I know you say there's no room, and of course, there's no room right now, but with injuries down the line, and although the Rangers were pretty injury-free last year, I just hope that they do things the right way. Now, of course, with Grachev, I have a different plan for, but that's just because I'm biased. But I just hope they do things right way, and me and Jim have talked about this. Do you think, this is just your, I just want to get your opinion, do you think there's a disconnect between the Rangers and Hartford / Connecticut as far as philosophies go and perhaps knowing who to bring up when they do need a player? Because last year it just seemed like P.A. Parenteau was in, and other than P.A. Parenteau and flip-flopping the goalies every other week, that was the only connection John Tortorella had with Hartford. I mean, do you sense that, or do you have any take on that?
Well, I do have a take on it. I will be gentle with my take on it. I would like to see some changes in the Hartford coaching staff. I think that there are some issues there, but as far as I can tell, changes are not going to happen. So we have to hope that there is more of a conversation and between the two, and that the development will step itself up. I'm very
right.
concerned about what has gone on at the AHL level, and looking at it, looking at who's on the team now, and saying who really developed in Hartford, who developed and became ready.
Right.
Not very many people.
Yeah, I agree with
you. And while it's often true that the best players will come directly to your NHL team, look at successful teams like Detroit and see how they develop people in Grand Rapids.
Right.
And you'll see a very different story than what the Rangers have. So we have a great list of prospects here. The question is, will they be developed properly to achieve their full potential? And I don't know the answer. So before you get all hepped up and all excited and planning the route for the Stanley Cup parade, there are things that need to be done. And
It's exactly like you said with concerning Kreider. In order for these guys to make progress, they need the coaching. And if the coaching is not there, they can't progress, or it will limit their progress. So I'll talk more about this later after we let you go.
Okay, I mean, but just look, at the players that are on their on the NHL team, and tell me how many players on that team have developed in Hartford, and I will tell you there's only one.
Would you say Dale Weiss would be that guy?
No, no, because Dale Weiss has not made the team. That would be Brandon Dubinsky.
Oh, okay. I see what
you're saying. All the other ones that I see here, I mean, Callie was there for a very short period of time. He didn't really develop.
How about Artie?
Well, okay, Artie, yes, but I have issues with how he developed. So I mean, I think he's a very, very talented player. Yes,
you gotta
can say
more
that.
Minutes.
I'm sorry?
I got to give him more minutes.
Okay.
He's got to play more.
Yeah, he has to. He has to play more, but he wasn't ready to play more. And you would think that at the time when he came up, he should have been ready to play more. So that's just that's my opinion. It's not set in stone, you know. But this is, and this has nothing to do. This is not anybody else's opinion or the Rangers' opinion, but I just think that more players should be developed down there. And it just doesn't seem to be happening.
Okay. And, Jim, you wanted to ask Leslie some questions?
Yeah. Leslie, give us – what about Matt Gilroy? Give us a take on him.
Oh,
I don't like the way that started.
I didn't like what I saw at camp. Now, I was not there I was not there today, and I was not there on Monday. So I basically were talking Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and yesterday. And I didn't like what I saw with him. He's very speedy, but he has trouble with endurance. And he did not play well when he played in scrimmages because he's still doing the same thing, which I'm sure he's been told to do, which is step up into the play as much as you can. And so several times there were goals against, specifically because he couldn't get back. And so if that continues, there's no room for him.
If he's got trouble with endurance in September, we got problems.
Well,
you put on all that muscle, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, whether that's helping, hurting, I don't know. All I can tell you is what I see. And what I see is someone that I don't know where he fits on this team. I really don't.
Oh, boy. There goes my guy. There goes my bounce-back guy for the year.
Well, it's possible. I mean, you know, it's possible he could bounce back. It's possible they could send him to Hartford and he could be just, you know, last year he was just too good for Hartford. He really was, you know, he's sort of this player that I'm personally not certain that his position in the NHL should be on defense. So I believe that this guy might be able to be successful as a forward, but I'm not sure on this team.
Okay. What about Delzato?
He looked faster at times, and then he kind of blew himself out. But, I don't know what's going to happen. I want to see him in game situations. We'll have to see. I mean, I did not notice him in any real positive way over the last week. Not in a real negative way either. But he just did not stand out. But then there was no power play, so no power play in scrimmages. We just have penalty shots with one guy following. I'm sorry?
He worked out with Stamkos' trainer, worked out with him.
Well, I mean, one thing I will say about him is, and I said it, and several people thought maybe I had a little crush on him. He's young enough to be my grandson, but that wasn't the case at all. It was just that I couldn't believe how big his arms were, his arms are. I mean, it's just amazing. His legs don't really look any different, but his arms are just huge. His upper body strength looks, like, very different. So we'll see how that works for him. It's certainly going to help his shot.
Yes.
But
now,
go ahead.
did you get a chance to see, was there a Wade Redden signing sighting at the at camp?
Absolutely. He was there. And, he didn't stand out either way to me. You know.
That's good to hear. Good news, everybody! We're back in it! Redden was neither here nor there. He's going to be in Hartford, I think.
Well, I honestly don't know, and I don't even want to speculate on that. That's a situation where, I don't envy Glenn.
Ladies and gentlemen, your 2010 Connecticut Whale.
You're leaving a charge out there. It's going to be great. He'll love it.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of fun there, I think. Leslie, we had a couple other questions that from some of our readers and listeners. We have Chris, who is one of our most devoted listeners. He's actually over in the UK and listens to us every morning on the podcast on his way to work. He wanted me to ask you, as a person who watches so many young, talented players throughout the season, what type of player do you really look out for and enjoy watching the most?
I really love players that can skate. When I see a player who can skate, for example, like Grachev, who has beautiful, beautiful stride, it really excites me, because players who are fast can really do a lot in this league. I mean, this is a league that, since they changed the rules, speed is really, really important. And I was really surprised last night on the TV. I was watching New Jersey and Philadelphia, which you wouldn't think would be a very, very exciting game. However, when I looked at the speed at which these skaters were going back and forth on the ice compared to what was going on in scrimmage, it was really exciting. I mean, the game is played at a very high speed at the NHL level, and I love to watch that. I love players who can skate.
Okay. One of the other questions that we had was, you answered, well, we had a question about Ryan Bourque, in which you already answered. How about, you mentioned Roman Horak, but maybe you could tell us a little bit more about his development, how he's coming along.
I love his development. I was pretty surprised, actually. He did well in Traverse City last year, but he still looked like a kid. And he had a lot to learn, but he works very hard. He did very well last year in Chilliwack. I believe he was in Chilliwack. And so I was not in Traverse City, unfortunately, this year. So I didn't know what to expect when I saw him in camp, but he's a different guy. He's bigger. He's confidence on the ice. He really has good vision, good hands, and a nice shot. I saw him take a shot, I guess it was yesterday, from the high slot. The thing was just amazing. Really good shot, great release. And I like the kid, and I was actually thinking that this afternoon, should he really go back to Chilliwack? Is that the way for him to go? Because he was drafted out of Europe, as the same as Grachev was. So there's really a choice here. He could go as a 19-year-old. He could go to the AHL. But he's listed as a member of the Bruins, the Chilliwack Bruins, and he's listed to return there. I don't want to put thoughts in anyone's mind that he may not, but it occurred to me that he might be ready for professional play. But I could be totally wrong. But it did occur to me over the last couple of days, and I actually started to look it up and think about, well, are we going to have the same situation as we had with Grachev, where maybe he should have gone back? But we'll see what happens. But I'm very, very pleased with his development. He's a guy who's really on the way up.
Good to hear. Okay, so you were around training camp a couple of days this week. And
all weekend, yeah.
And all weekend. So we've been talking about, we talked about this last week, and we talked about it a little bit before he came on the air tonight with us. Are we seeing a kindler, gentler John Tortorella this year?
Well, he hasn't cursed at me yet.
Has he cursed at you in the past?
Well, not at me directly, but expletives flow freely in the past. He seems okay. I don't know. We'll see what happens over the next few days. We'll see what happens when we get in game situations. He has mostly praised the kids and all the players as to their fitness level and their play. So he has said very little negative things, very little. So I think it's only a matter of time.
I think that's going to change once the pucks drop for game one.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, you a person is who they are, and his nature is part of what makes him good, as well as, you know, one of his drawbacks. But you don't want a person to totally change who they are. Maybe some of the guys who cover the team every day might want it. But
Yeah, they do. We've had them on the show.
Yeah.
Some of them couldn't wait for the season to end.
Yeah.
I mean, they would.
Well, it can make it really tough, but at the same time, I mean, it's part of his fiery nature that fires up the team. So, you know, I don't know what to say about it.
Now,
talk to me after I've been chastised and God knows what. If my cell phone rings while we're in the middle of a conference, I'll be dead meat.
Now, have you gotten a chance to see Bugard play?
And, I have.
Now, you got to tell me some good things about the boogeyman. They want to hear good things.
Okay. Well, he wasn't
the
last player in this skating, so that's a good thing, right? I mean, he was second to last in his speed and abilities. He has a little bit of a, but then he's not on the ice to skate up and down. I haven't seen him fight. He looks like he's in good condition. He buys into the system, and he's excited to be a Ranger. So we'll see what happens. It's really hard to say. I mean, nobody's going to fight him now.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, something.
I mean, you know, I think it was a good signing. I'm not sure it was a good signing for the price that he signed for.
Well, you don't sign goons for four-year deals. I don't care what you say, but apparently they wanted that.
Well, it was also the price, pretty high. So
I could have lived with the price for 2 years. You don't lock up an enforcer for 4 years. That makes sense to me.
Well,
but I guess
I have a thing about enforcers that are over 30 years old at any point. I just think that enforcers after age 30, you're starting to go downhill. Now, I know there are exceptions, but I wouldn't sign an enforcer for longer than probably age 32, and that's like really pushing it.
Now, I guess we have one more question. People want to know about Andrew Yogan,
mm-hmm.
who got hurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think he got hurt. I think he was
mm-hmm.
hurt. We got a press release late this afternoon saying that he had successful surgery on his shoulder yesterday, but I had asked the Rangers yesterday what was the story. Sherry Basson, who is the general manager of the Erie Otters, which is his junior team, said that he had injured his shoulder last year, and it was just some loose cartilage, or I'm not sure if it's cartilage or muscle, what's going on, but that it wasn't a torn labrum, which is what was announced yesterday or the day before by, at least on the Rangers site, I think it was Jim Cerny who actually said that, because the Rangers claimed they didn't announce it, but that they weren't 100% sure what his problem was, and they wouldn't know until they went inside his shoulder and checked it out. Now, this does not make total sense to me for several reasons. One is because Basson claimed that there was an MRI on Yogan's shoulder last spring. If there's an MRI, it would show a torn labrum. So, and he said that it didn't show anything. So that's a little confusing. And the Rangers claim that they weren't aware of any injury. So I don't know how they couldn't be aware. There was a combine. He was at the combine, and he did a physical there, and he filled out all the forms.
Right.
I don't know what the story is. Hopefully this is...
Now, Leslie, I got to ask you this, because really, you're our go-to person for this.
Okay.
Now,
you're scaring me, all right?
Yeah, I'm going to get a little dangerous territory here.
Okay.
Now, what you spoke to about the whole Yogan situation seems to be like a little bit of a cover-up. Maybe they don't want any culpability. Now, was there any kind of searches done to you while you entered the practice facility there? Because
what?
I find the Rangers are very secretive. Like they have some kind of special sauce they don't want people to get a hold of. Did you find that at all to be the case?
Well, they know me for a long time. So certainly it's not been my experience that they are secretive to me.
Mm-hmm.
Nor did they search me, nor anything like that. I come and go as I please there. What I think the situation is this is a big city environment, and there are a lot of people who would like to be at the training center. There's a lot of people who would like media access. There are, you know, and some of them are legitimate and some are not. But there's thousands of people who are looking for access and for information. Most are benign, some are not. So it's sort of difficult. Plus, you don't want to run an operation where you give away everything, because then you have no leverage on trading a guy or anything like that. I mean, you know, it's a business. You don't give away trade secrets all the time. So I don't know if that's helpful to you in any way, but I don't find them. You know, I have an issue. For example, tomorrow we have a rookie game. It's not open to the public, and Credential Center. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead.
So it's in the Prudential Center. The Devils have an outright prohibition against all internet-based media. They won't give them access.
The Devils. Okay.
The Rangers, you know, I have access for the Rangers if I, you know, wanted to go to one of their games, but I'm struggling with the Devils. You know, they may give me access yet. I'm not certain that what's going to happen for this game. I have not heard anything yet. But it's not just the Rangers. Every team has their own quirky things that they do or they don't do, and you have to live with it, and you have to work within it. I mean, and that's part of doing the job.
Now, that game originally was scheduled to be a public game.
It was a public game last year.
Right. And it was scheduled, and then they pulled it from that about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, me and my friend Ricky, we were going to go down to that game. And, I'm not convinced. And I don't want to get you in any trouble. I'm not convinced it was the Devils that did that, because we've we've kind of grown in our audience, and the fans have really taken to us, and we have had our own little bit of hullabaloo with the Rangers media over there. Jim attended the draft and reported and did it in a professional manner. They were very upset that bloggers were allowed to interview their draft picks. He was credentialed by the NHL, and they've actually approached the NHL about that they were very upset since they don't credential bloggers, at least this is what they said, and they won't even let other bloggers from other teams to talk to their players. So,
well, no, they don't credential bloggers. They do not. The Rangers do not credential bloggers. I think there's a difference between bloggers and internet-based media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a technicality. I don't even think that the Rangers will give season credentials to any internet-based media. I do not believe
no,
so, but I might be wrong.
Not full season.
Right, not full season. So, as far as making a rookie game, whether it's open to the public or not open to the public, my understanding is that the game is on the practice rink and not in the arena. And if it's on the practice rink, I've seen games of the New Jersey Hitmen, which is a junior team. It's a minor midget team in that arena, that little small practice rink. And there's just not enough room for everybody to be there. So I don't know why it was switched, but, and I don't know who did it, but, it seems to me I would doubt that it was the Rangers. I really doubt it was the Rangers. I think it's a location issue, and I'm not sure why. But I just can't imagine that they could let everybody into the practice rink.
Right. Maybe it's just not a viable venue.
It's not a viable venue for the public. I mean, a small number when you're watching a bunch of little kids play, not little kids, but kids, 14, 15, 16, basically what you have is their parents and scouts sitting there. That, they would fit, but it's not going to fit fans. So for whatever reason, it's going to be in the practice rink, and I think it's a location issue. So I wouldn't, draw any other conclusions from it. I don't think there's a secret conspiracy or anything. I really don't. As far as the media issues, I think it's there will be very few newspapers, and the media will be mostly internet. But the issue is really who do you credential and who don't you credential? Who's legitimate? Really, and who's really just sort of a fringe person? And I don't think that's an easy decision to make on the part of the teams. And I think they're having difficulty doing it. And I understand that. I mean, I don't think you can give every single person who starts a ball.
No.
What's the criteria? And I think this is something that can be, is something that every team is struggling with.
Yeah, well, frankly, I think that, speaking for the blogging community or just the Ranger blog, we really don't want – I have no interest in interviewing any Ranger, the coach, being live at the game. I have no interest in that because I think once you go into that territory, you got to kind of soft soap things. And I think that, how am I going to say, Chris, first of all, you've talked to a lot of hockey players. I mean, there's about five different answers they give you. You're really not going to find out anything enlightening these days.
That's not true.
Idiots.
Not true at all.
I don't know. I mean, very
good discussions with players, not in a media scrum, but when you're individually talking to a player and you're doing features on the player and the player knows you and trusts you, I think you can get some really good, very, very good information and things that are interesting, and you can make a connection with a player. And I think if you're a good journalist, that's what you do. You make a connection with the player, and you work with the player to develop a feature.
I think
that's important. To get past five things that some coach has told them what to say and all that.
It's just that I've interviewed a lot of beat reporters, and it's not like the old days where the guy knew your name. They don't even know your name when you're asking the question. And I guess if you do build a personal relationship and if they allow you to get close enough, you can get that. So,
there are only maybe 10 guys who cover the Rangers, okay? That the players, by the middle of the year, they know who these guys are. I cannot imagine that they don't. They do.
Leslie, we've had beat reporters. We had Rick Carpinella said, they don't know me from Adam. There's a guy there with a BlackBerry standing right next to them, you know, basically recording everything that they say.
They're not recording. It's usually Brendan McIntyre. He's not recording. He's just making sure that something isn't said that that will be embarrassing or a question isn't asked that isn't out of bounds. And there, I've seen out of bounds questions be asked. I mean, really, stuff that should not be. So I mean, I don't want to get into too much of a discussion of
right,
media
okay.
And access.
Leave it there.
But I just think that there's two sides to every story, as far
mm-hmm.
as the
oh, yeah.
goes. And I, you know, I'm sorry that that happened to Jim. You know, but I don't know. I don't even know why it happened. And you might want to ask. I'm curious. You might want to ask.
Leslie, we'll
You've
save
tried.
That for another
okay.
show.
Okay.
We have,
it's all right.
Okay.
We're headbutting
in any case, I mean, the whole idea of access and media access is a very interesting issue and one that is changing over time. But it's
right.
it's not really easy for a team to make those determinations unless they really know you. Because
right.
there's some wacky
sure.
people out there.
Oh, we've had them on the show.
Okay.
One of them used to go down to Hartford and cover the whalers. I mean,
the Connecticut whale.
The Connecticut whale. Well, Leslie, I thank you so much for coming on the show. And,
You're welcome.
I have to say, this is always my favorite show because I really now I feel like I've gotten my my preseason update on the prospects. I can talk about every player in the organization practically and feel pretty comfortable with it. And, you know, and I know that we always will get an unbiased and practical look and evaluation of the range of players. And I really thank you for coming on. It really is.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Happy to do it. Take
Thanks,
care.
Leslie. We'll
okay.
talk to you soon.
I know. Sure. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Leslie Treff, and I was going to say this, but I didn't want to drag out the conversation. The NHL announced today that starting this season, bloggers will only have access to the home locker room unless they make prior arrangements with the visiting team. So there you have it.
So
Rangers and Edmonton, and you know, in fairness, it's obviously, you know, most of our ire is directed at the Rangers because, well, that's why we're here. But there are other teams that are just as bad with this, with these policies. And the Edmonton Oilers, oddly enough, are one of them. So right now, like I put in the chat room and I posted the link to the story. It's on Fan House. It's Rangers and Oilers 1, bloggers nothing. But, you know, and we don't want to get into this again. We're fine with it. That's fine. We love the Rangers. We are glad they are listening to us every week. We are glad they are reading us. If they don't like what we say, well, what can I tell you? That's just the way it is. So, but a great job by Leslie. She was fantastic, as always. She knows her stuff. And whether you agree with her or not, look, she's there watching these guys. So, you know, and I value her opinion, and I know you do too, Eddie. So, it was great to talk to her, and hopefully she'll come back with us during the season and bring us up to speed on what's going on.
Yeah, I tell you, we went through about 17 prospects. I mean, I think the only guys we didn't get to were Daniel Maggio, Brody DuPont, and I like the fact that she likes the guys I'm rooting for. Well, everybody knows I like Brad. I like Kreider, Grashev, Stefan. Of course, McElrath, and Werick. Those are my guys. And it's Carl Hagelin. I want to see this guy. And, you know, I think she holds back a little. I think some of these guys are going to be making the team. And so she's very conservative. And you know me, I'm over the top, Jimmy boy.
You definitely are. And, you know, she has to be, you know, she has to be measured in some of the things she says. And I understand that. Look, you know, she's got to... she's got to go back to training camp tomorrow or the next day or whatever it is. She's got to. I understand that. That's fine. I am eternally grateful for just her being on the other end of the phone when we wanted her to be. She's never said no to us. She succeeds where others have failed. You know, so we're grateful.
All right.
We were talking a little bit about the. We mentioned the Connecticut whale, and that was where Leslie came in. And I just, my last thought on that is, I've never been a fan of these singular names for teams. You know, the whale and the, is it Stanford? They're the Cardinal. And, you know, all those Arena Football League teams, you got the Burn and the Soul. And I've never been a fan of those names. So calling the Whales or the Whalers or whatever, the Connecticut Whale, I don't know. It's not grabbing me. And who changes the team name in mid-season?
Yeah, that's just wacky.
Isn't that weird? Don't you find that a little strange?
I think Leslie doesn't like Ken Janander. I think she skipped around that. Really, very diplomatically. But come on, Ken Janander's been in this organization for 15 years. How long has he been in the Rangers? As a player, as a coach? Move on, Kenny! Kenny G!
Got his number retired. Everybody's mentioned another ones, the Wild, the Heat, and yes, the Wolf Pack. I'm not a big fan of the singular names for teams, but
one word names suck. Like
the
Met.
The Met. Yeah.
Met.
All right, now. We talked about Drury. I wanted to. Did you hear? We always like to have a little fun at the Islanders' expense, and tonight is no different. And we'll get to your phone calls in just a second. I know there's a couple of you guys on hold. Did you hear what Garth Snow said about the Nassau Coliseum? Did you hear this?
No.
He referred to the Nassau Coliseum as a motor lodge. he said. Something to the effect of, it's hard to convince players to not to go to the Ritz-Carlton and come to a motor lodge or something like it. It was something to those effect. But he's basically, you know, calling the Nassau Coliseum a motor lodge. Now, in my time, I've stayed in some damn fine motor lodges. I think he's insulting motor lodges, to be honest with you.
Maybe the Comac Motor Inn.
Oh.
Which, I'm sure that...
It's funny you mentioned that. You mentioned the Comac Motor Inn. It's funny you mentioned that.
Oh.
Enjoy a fantasy getaway. Escape to the perfect spot for the two of you. The Comac Motor Inn and the Grandmore Motor Lodge are special places for special people. So put a little romance into your life. On Long Island, it's the Comac Motor Inn. In Connecticut, it's the Grandmore Motor Lodge. And now a new location, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, the Oakland East Motor Lodge, off Oakland Park Boulevard and Route 1. Enjoy your own fantasy getaway.
Sorry for the buzzing there at the end.
What kind of voice was that guy?
I know, that guy, does that guy sound like, you know, he'd be peeping through the wall like the guy that was looking at Aaron Andrews?
Yeah. Hey, I want to look through this hole.
Would you like to come stay at the Comac Motor Lodge, kids? We've got free Islander tickets with every room.
I don't know. That guy seemed like a peeping Tom who did the voiceover for that.
That's funny that you mentioned the Comac Motor Inn.
Yeah.
That's great. Because you had no idea I was pulling this out of the hat.
No, I had no idea. That's quite a coinkydink.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, let's. You want to go to the phones, or you got?
Let's go to the phones. Let's
open them up. How about 201-370? You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Hey guys, what's up? How are your mouth? Hey Jimmy.
Ricky.
Hey Ricky, how are you?
Happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much. Very much appreciated, Jimmy.
How's 40 treating you?
Man, no different than 39. I'm still frustrated with the Rangers.
Are you excited about tomorrow's game?
You know what? I was very excited about the rookie game, as you know, Mouth. And she can tell the company line all she wants. I confirmed with a source that I have in the Devils front office. I sent an email. I asked a question. And they said the game was changed by the request of the New York Rangers. And that's all that was in the email. Now, for anybody who goes back as long as I do, the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers used to play rookie games since the Devils came into the league. Originally, they used to play at a place called South Mountain Arena in West Orange, New Jersey. In South Mountain Arena, the rookie games would be played on the right-hand side, which is a high school rink with high school bleachers on one side, and the games were open to the public. Then the Rangers would play the Devils in an exhibition game there once a year in the arena with, I think it's 2,600 seats around the bottom bowl of the arena. Never closed to the public, always for free, always played there. Then when they moved to the Meadowlands, the games were close to the public, wink, wink, but if you showed up, they let you in the games and they let you watch them. Last year's games, they played three times at the Meadowlands, at the Rock last year, once in preseason, twice during the regular season. They were all open to the public and they were all free. So all of a sudden the games are closed to the public and it's just by request of the Rangers, which is ridiculous. And I can guarantee you it's because McGrath is playing. That's my theory. They don't want anybody commenting on the kid. They don't want anybody seeing him play. They don't want anybody to have a judgment of him other than being in juniors. And why else would the game be changed? It was announced on the Devils' website. It was announced in a bulletin that was sent to Devil season ticket holders that the game was at 1 o'clock, and then it suddenly pulled. So something's very suspicious there.
Well, I mean, I'm just a little shocked that Leslie said the Devils don't credential bloggers. I find that hard to believe. I accept her at a word. I mean, it's her knowledge. I'd have to check into that because I really
Devils don't
think
they don't. And they're very hard to get road credentials also. And that's even from talking to friends of mine who do some scouting and have some players that they represent in the league. The Devils are very, very difficult to get. The Devils and Montreal Canadiens are supposed to be the two toughest teams in the whole league.
Wow. You think the Devils would want anybody to be covering that team? I mean, they get no press. I mean, in New York, I mean, hardly any. But I guess it's not about press. I guess it's a lot about trust and who you trust to be a professional when they do these interviews.
Len Marullo is very old school. You got to remember that. Lou's a very old school GM with old school mentality. I mean, if you even look at even MSG's hockey coverage is that's a whole other show in itself. But it's very, very scripted. It's very there's no ad-libbing. There's no everything is done in front of the camera, the same four people interview the same players, and everything else is just, kept off the air.
Right.
But, I mean, I've had a good fix of hockey this week. I don't know about you, Mouth, but I watched three games tonight. I'm watching the end of Boston and Montreal right now. I watched the Leafs in Ottawa. All these teams covered, Edmonton Oilers covered their whole training camp on the website. You could watch all the scrimmages. There's just none of that in New York, and that's what's it's just not fun to be a fan. 10 years ago, I was excited about the preseason. I'd be waiting at the Garden right now drinking beers with my cousin and getting ready to go inside. And the game didn't start for another 16 hours. Now I don't even care. I don't even care anymore.
You don't want to see the boogeyman take on somebody?
It's another – here's why I called. Do you bring a Clydesdale to the Meadowlands? Do you put him in a race? Do you put the guy? It's just very frustrating to me. The New York Rangers for years. Now I don't want to get into the contract. I want to go just purely on what the guy does for a living. You don't. We went to a gunfight with a knife a couple years ago when we didn't play an enforcer. Jagr got ran. Shanahan got knocked unconscious. Dolan stands up and says this will never happen again. And then we go out, we got Colton Orr playing every single game that he was healthy for until Tortorella got here. Then he didn't play a game. And what happened, Mouth? Blair Betts had his head knocked off his shoulders by an enforcer. So we go out last year, we make a rash decision, we bring in a 30-something-year-old Donald Brashear, who's a piece of garbage, went for the money, didn't have his heart in the game anymore, and the team got pushed around again. Now you go out and you got Brandon Trust, who I love. You have Bugard. we possibly have the toughest team since the mid-90s that we've had in a long time. And I got news for you. Bogaerts not comfortable with Tortorella already.
Wow.
He's very uncomfortable. He's scared. He's a little timid. And you know for a fact that I have an inside source to him. This guy is already second-guessing being in New York. And you have the best fighter in the National Hockey League, bar none. Nobody's going to take advantage of Gabrick. Nobody's going to run over Lundqvist with this guy on the ice. You're not going to see little chippy crap around him because this guy will hit a superstar and will run him through the boards. And already, because of physical conditioning and sprints, he feels uncomfortable in this locker room.
Now, Ricky, I think you're jumping the gun here already. I mean, like Mandar is saying, he's been in a week already, and now he doesn't want to be here? Now, come on.
He didn't say he didn't want to be here. I never said he didn't want to be here. He said he was uncomfortable already. He doesn't feel like he's going to be accepted in the room by the coach.
Listen, your anti-tort sentiment is getting in the way. And you have to give Tortorella a break for a week.
Give Rodney a chance. Give Rodney a chance.
Let me ask you guys, when the gloves are dropped, do you want Brandon Dubinsky fighting a Jody Shelley or Jeremy Jablonski, or do you want Bogaerts doing it?
You're preaching to the converted here. I'm not saying that we don't need the guys who are going to fight. I agree with you. The division got tougher. I mean, as far as
the conference got tougher, Mal. Did you watch the Ottawa Leafs game tonight? They had about six fights in the game. Every one of the guys who dropped their gloves is going to be on the team up there.
Jim, I think now that I've broken bread with Ricky O and his family, all of a sudden he's coming at me. He's coming at me with full guns a-blazing now. He's so familiar with me. Now he's just punching me like a punching bag.
Well, maybe we should get to the root of this. Did you stop up the toilet, or
I stay a little too long. I was there for like 7 8 hours. I was like the thing that wouldn't leave. But
I was just when you left, Mount. I was having a good time, buddy.
I was.
I'm just being serious for a second. Like I really think that it's just a little ridiculous on the part that. You know, even Leslie, he wasn't the worst skater, but he was the second worst. He's not paid to come in there and do figure eights, you stupid thing. Let's get out there and let's see what happens when the gloves come off. Let's go to the first exhibition game and see LeBlanc take a run at, a kid like Kreider, Stepin. Let's see him take a run at somebody. And let's see. I mean, I watched the Devil's Flyer game last night. That game was an NHL hockey game. There was no holding back. The Flyers took runs. The Devils took runs. There was fights. There was contact. You need a protector when you're going to groom kids to come up and be comfortable in the NHL. I don't think it's right that the Flyers have to take him. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear what you said, Mel.
I said, Jim, are you with him? I'm with you on that. I mean, they need somebody to protect these young guys. I'm with you. I'm over the contract, frankly. I don't really care. I think they needed to fill a spot. They got the guy to fill a spot.
Is he going to go out there and skate around? That's going to intimidate people. Why? Because he plays with a big stick? Who cares? Guy's 4'3".
You know, I hated the contract in July when it was signed. But when I look at it in the grand scheme of everything they did over the summer, I'm okay with the contract. I'm over it, like you said. And I agree that they need somebody to protect those guys on the ice. But on the other hand, how is Bogaerts going to do that at 4 minutes a game? If he's going to get some ice time and if he's going to be effective, then fine. He's a guy I think you got to have. But, you know, if he's going to play, you know, I told you guys that one story about somebody that watched with the Wild and he had to jump on the ice during TV timeouts just to keep his legs warm because he was taking, you know, a 30-second shift. If they're going to play him, you know, that's – that he's useful. If not, then he's just, you know, taking up space.
Well, I agree with you. And there was actually times in games in Minnesota where he didn't get a shift.
Right. So.
But what people don't realize is that he also was the second most popular player in Minnesota behind Gabrick. The fans are completely pissed that he's no longer a Wild. Second highest selling jersey on the team. And the guy stood up for his teammates. You know, and then when I understand, listen, I'm the last guy. Hockey is dead the way I used to enjoy professional hockey. It died probably about 6 years ago, the way I used to enjoy seeing teams come out, play physical. Just the fact that the Rangers fan base is more pumped up about a guy like MZA, this little, you know, hobbit that we got running around, that's 5'4" or whatever he is. They're more excited about that than having a guy that can go out and protect these guys. The last time Brandon Dubinsky fought a heavyweight in the NHL, he was knocked unconscious. Ryan Callahan, with the style of game he plays, I don't want him to have to think twice about taking a run at somebody because Matt Carpenter is going to take his head off. You know, I don't want to have Stepan to be afraid or Gabbert to not go to a net in a game against Philly because Matt Carpenter, Jody Shelley, Cirillo, or LaPerriere are going to get tough with the Rangers and the Rangers can't respond. That's all I'm asking. I just don't want to see these guys be physically intimidated because Tortorella refuses to put the bullet in the gun.
Well, we can't say yet. I mean, you have a right to be skeptical on whether Torts is going to, you know, fall out of favor with Bugard because conditioning and kind of forget the fact when he's not here to be, like you said, skating figure eights, but just to punch people in the face when they need it. And help restore some fear into the hearts of their opponents, which the Rangers have not done. I mean, you know, there's no fear with the Rangers in last year. Actually, there's fear for us Ranger fans when Donald Brashear was on the ice. Something bad was going to happen to us. And I just sensed that the Colton Orr re-signing or non-re-signing by the Rangers is still eating at you, Ricky. That, and I'm going to give you, just like I said last week to the people who were the Lori Corpito and the Paul Mara Love Fest people, let it go. Let it go, my friend. And if you can come
free
on the
at
show
last,
next week.
Free at last. Great God almighty, free at last.
You know what's funny? Is a guy like, it's funny, like a guy like Mandor is in the room right now. And you know what, Mandor? You're a wise ass, and I love you to death. But you know what? Colton Orr did make people turn around with the Leafs because he came out and he played with his heart. And you know what? Colton Orr was far from the problem on the Leafs last year. The guy took a regular shift. He improved himself enough that he went out there under Tom Rennie 2 years ago and played a regular shift. And the guy's a good NHL hockey player right now. You know, that really just burns my ass is that when people don't like fighting or don't like tough hockey or don't like, you know, somebody else's opinion, they come out and attack. Don't attack. I love the fact. I actually think the New York Rangers are going to finish sixth this year in the division. I think the Rangers have improved dramatically. I think Frolov is going to score 30 to 35 goals. I think if Gabby stays healthy, he's going to hit 50. And I think Dubinsky playing with Callahan is going to improve both of them, and I hope that they both score 20 to 25. I'm not rooting against the team, and I'm even going to get – I told you the other day, Malcolm, I'm going to stop being negative, and I'm going to root for the team this year because I love them, and I don't want to see myself not enjoy what I've grown up enjoying. But you know what? It's, like, frustrating. Like, every year there's always going to be the one guy that everybody's going to crap on or not stand behind because he fights. You know what? You little 20-year-old pricks that don't know the game of hockey, go back and watch the NHL Network and watch a game from the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and then you'll understand how people who are in their 40s, an old man like me now, will appreciate the game of hockey to be played the right way because hitting, checking, and fighting are part of hockey. And just because Gary Bettman ruined the frigging game and put skirts and tampons on the fucking teams, then you know what?
Whoa,
I'm
going to
end it like this. I'm going to get myself worked up.
You young bastards, you don't know a thing about hockey. You pains
exactly.
In the asses.
I feel like my father right now, Jim.
Get off my lawn.
Well, you know, Ricky is passionate, and I love him for it. Trust me. When I was over at his house, he actually, and he said it on the show, he's no BSer. He was on the he took down all his Rangers stuff because of Tortorella. His Ranger man cave is barren of Ranger paraphernalia because this is his way is protesting Tortorella. So everything that Ricky says, he feels. Now, Mandel, I'm not so sure about. He likes to stir shit up. Oh, hey, I said shit up. But anyway.
Ricky, we love you. You know that, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. You guys actually made me feel old. That's why I'm just sitting here having a moment. I'm going to go take my shirt off. I'm going to go take some Geritol and listen to Mandor go nuts about people who fight. And then,
don't worry.
You know.
He's almost 50, Mandor, so he has no room to talk.
That's really old.
Keep flying next time and come eat over. We can all hang out and watch some fights together.
Yeah.
All right, Ricky. Yeah. Take care.
Good night, guys. Thank you.
Good night.
Take care.
Ricky's shaking his fist at everybody. All right, we only got like 5 minutes to go. You guys have been on hold. I probably we'll squeeze you in here. I promise. I apologize. Thanks for holding on. Go ahead, Eddie. I'm sorry.
No, I just say Ricky's dealing with those people on Hockey's Future who just they want to talk about the small skill guys, and they just want to talk about the big goons, and you know they hate goons. They like the skill guys. So I told him it's a futile battle. A futile battle fighting those kind of people because they're just, you're never going to convince them. You know, they just need a good smack in those people.
Realize that
you need toughness. It's at least that threat. I mean, it's not like it all used to be, but there's got to be a retribution guy. So let's go to the calls on that.
It's like having a big dog in your yard, as Colonel Potter used to say.
Right.
All right. Newman? Going once? 201-248. Now, Newman, is that you? Bye, Newman. All right. Robbie? Are you there? Nope, switchboard's frozen on me. Oh, look at this. Request failed. Great. Robbie, are you there? Eddie, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Robbie, are you there? All right, Robbie. Well, we'll talk to you next week then, I guess. All right.
Wow.
So with just 3 minutes to go, first preseason game tomorrow night, and then we'll be back with you guys Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We'll bring in Mandor for the last couple of minutes. Mandor, good evening. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. On the cusp of another fine hockey season, I'm extremely excited. I'm leaving my Ranger stuff up on the walls, though. I mean, I'm still a fan of the team. I'm not taking it down because I hate the coach, which I do. But, you know, the true fans will keep their stuff up because we root for the team, not crying about the coach.
Yes. Before I get to that, I want to – you really deserve a 2-minute penalty for instigating. gross misconduct. What the hell is going on?
it was basically have to. Look, I am one thing that I said in the room, which I truly believe, there's a difference between playing tough hockey and fighting. And what bothers me is that people think tough hockey's fighting. And to me, that's simply not true. You can fight, but you don't necessarily have to be a tough guy to fight. But you can certainly be a tough guy without fighting. Do I want to see tough hockey? Yeah, I do. I want to see hitting. I want to see guys moving out of the crease. I want to see physical contact. I want to see everybody get in there and getting everything dirty. But fighting to me, I mean, yeah, I'll watch it because I have to because it's happening in front of me. But to think that I've got to get excited about having a tough guy out there on the ice who's going to look to headhunt somebody, okay, fine. You know, I believe fighting is part of the game, but I'm not looking for hockey to be a fighting game. I'm looking for hockey to be a tough game. And to me, they're not, you know, the same. They're mutually exclusive.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you.
And that's the thing. I'm not disagreeing with Ricky. I think Ricky's right. I think you need to have toughness in the game. You got to be a tough. You can't play this game and not be tough because there's physical contact all over the ice. But you can play this game without having a fight. Is fighting necessary? Two tough guys going at it, sure. But then once that's gone, the players are going to play. And the tough guys will survive. You get guys, Callahan's a tough player. You don't. I would love to have anybody argue that Callahan's not a tough player, but because he's not a fighter, are people going to say he's not tough? Come on. I'm tired of hearing Dubinsky. He's not a fighter. He got beat up. So what? He's not a tough player. Doesn't go in the dirty areas. Doesn't go in front of the net. Doesn't play physical. That's tough. Fighting doesn't make you tough. You gotta be, you know, you're a tough player getting your nose dirty. That's a tough player. And I hate when people have to equate toughness and fighting. Because if you don't fight, you're not tough. And that's garbage.
Whoa! Very outspoken there.
All right, we'll see you guys next week, 8 o'clock. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Well, we're off the air, so I just wanted to say good night. We're not streaming.
I gotta admit, I was beating Ricky a bit.
Well, this chat room's gonna need to be shut down pretty soon. I can't look at it. I can't look at it with the trespassing. It was ridiculous. I understand she, you know, not the most exciting person in the world, but
well, that's what it is.
Listen, it's free.
Oh, yeah. They just, you know, they want somebody with a personality.
Yeah, they want Lady Gaga to come out here and give us the info on Ranger prospects.
Yeah, she's very dry. It's tough to listen to somebody dry. She has a lot of info. I mean, people who are listening to her are learning stuff, but it's just, you know, there's not a whole lot of inflection in her voice. And they keep calling her underdog Lady Frostern.
Yeah, well, I mean, she sounds just like her.
Yeah, she does. She's
just like her.
All right, man, dog. Jim, how about give me a post call if you want? Or I'll call you after we hang up.
Okay. So, yeah, just give me a call.
Take care, guys.
Okay. All right,
take
good care. Night.
All right, bye-bye.